Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 7, Mature Thinking About Prayer. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on February 11th, 2018.
For the precious blood of Jesus, and for the power and the authority of Jesus' name. And we do thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us can prosper because our righteousness is of you. That every tongue that's risen against us, every tongue that Satan raises against us, is already judged and condemned because this is our heritage as your servants, Lord, because our righteousness is of you, Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which anyone can be saved, and that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, Jesus, that you are the Lord. And for it we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the thanks, and all the praise today, because you're an awesome Savior and a wonderful Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you did, for the price that you paid, so that we could walk in freedom, so that we could live in freedom, so that we could have the precious anointing, the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who leads and guides and directs us. We praise you for that, Father. We thank you for it, Jesus, in your precious name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you're the hearty ones. You made it to church today.
Hallelujah.
Most people just decide to go to work on days like this, but not to church. But you came, so God bless you. Praise the Lord forever. Amen. Praise God. This morning I'm going to continue. Our theme this month has been covenant relationship. And we've been talking probably throughout covenant relationship, we've been talking about the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit and his part in keeping us in covenant and keeping us walking in covenant. So this morning I want to continue that theme, and we'll continue it for the next few weeks. But this morning I want to speak to you about your prayer language, which is your covenant relationship connection. Praise the Lord. So it's a subject that, you know, some people think that it brings division in the church and so forth and so on. And some churches teach against, you know, using your prayer language or being baptized in the Holy Spirit, saying all of those things passed away and so forth and so on. So we want to bring some clarity to the subject of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues versus giving a message that needs interpretation, etc. So I hope that this is helpful and it blesses you, because I know that people ask questions, and sometimes when they come into the church and they hear us praying in tongues, sometimes people are offended or upset or just think, well, you know, that's out of order. But we want to put some order to it by going back to God's Word today and talking about it from the perspective of the Word of God. So this morning I'm going to use 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The first verse says, be infants in evil. I'm sorry, the 20th verse says, be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. So it's contrasting childhood and adulthood, immaturity and maturity. And Paul is encouraging the Corinthian believers here to come to a place of maturity in their thinking. And if you look at this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, basically what you'll discover is that it's a lot about prayer. So the title for my message this morning is Mature Thinking About Prayer, because that's basically what I want to focus on. How can we have mature thoughts, come to a maturity in our prayer life, which is really our covenant connection with God? So a number of years ago, early actually in our walk with God, when we were just learning everything, Pastor Karen and I were invited to a Valentine's Day banquet in Ohio. And I was one of the guest speakers at that banquet. And there we met some other young people who were also speakers at the same event that we were at, who were going to Bible school. And this couple, who later became our friends, they were going to Bible school. The gentleman had been a coach in a high school. He had been a high school coach in a school in Cleveland, I believe, Cleveland area. And when he got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, he felt like God was calling them to go to Bible college. So he basically just left his career of teaching and coaching, and they went to Bible school. Well, you know, for adult people to leave their careers and just go somewhere to go to school and interrupt the flow of income and so forth and so on for yourself and for your families is kind of it's a big step. It's a step, it's a challenging step, because basically who's going to provide for you? And so a lot of people were talking to them about this and, you know, how crazy it was that they should take such a step and just quit their jobs and go to Bible school. It's, you know, like totally unacceptable behavior. And it's risky because basically who's going to put the food on the table? But my friend was sharing with me that one of the things that God showed them right at the beginning when they left and went to the city where the school was is that God had given them some gifts that would help them and that would lead them to a place of provision all through their school time. And so he began to use his prayer language, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, every day over their situation. Presently, he found a job. It was a sales job. He had never been in sales before. But he determined that, you know, God wanted to provide for them, and he would use this job because it had flexible hours and so forth, and he could prosper in it if God would help him and teach him. So he began to pray in tongues. And to make a longer story short, God began to prosper him in this sales job. And because it was a commission job, basically his income was unlimited. So it turned out that as he was praying in tongues, God would show him how to conduct himself and what to say and what to do. And sales began to come in. And God began to prosper him, and he rose to the top and became a team leader with that company that he was at. And he became really prosperous. He was making more money than he ever made coaching. And God provided for them all through the time that they were at Bible school through that job because his income was really, really good. It was terrific. In fact, it was so good that when it came time for them to graduate, the president of the company actually asked him not to go to the mission field where he felt like God was calling him to, that he should just stay there and that he would promote him in the company and he should just name his price. Whatever it was he wanted, just stay, don't go. Just stay and stay with the company. And he said, well, of course, you know, I can't do that because I've got a calling on my life. I've got a higher calling on my life. And the same God that provided for me here when I came to Bible school will provide for me in the mission field. And so basically he and his wife packed up and went to the mission field, and they never turned back from that. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but they became great missionaries. They established a really powerful missionary organization that had dozens of missionaries that were working with them. And all through that time, God prospered them and blessed them and helped them and increased them. His wife is still running that organization and still has dozens of missionaries. So, but I'm sharing that with you this morning because he learned a principle of praying in the Spirit that propelled him to a place and to a position where not only did he have peace with God, but he had provision from God and great success, because in his communication with God and in his covenant relationship with God, God began to provide for them in a supernatural way that astounded everybody that was around. So this morning we're going to talk about praying in tongues, specifically talking to God. as being a secret of success and provision, in addition to just having that relationship and that covenant place with God where you're always connected. Praise the Lord. And we want to speak about mature thinking about this, because wouldn't it be nice to develop the kind of prayer life that would put you in a position where you never have to look back and never have to think twice about knowing that God is leading you, that He's guiding you, and that He's directing you. So this morning, let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's examine what Paul is saying about the subject of praying in the Spirit and the subject of speaking in tongues with interpretation, because that's an area where many times people misunderstand. This chapter basically is totally about tongues and interpretation. So many times when people look at this, they come away with some confusion, because it almost seems contradictory in some places. Because one time he's saying interpret, the other time he's saying it's not necessary. So we're going to look at that and pick it apart a little bit. So starting in verse 1, he says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So let's just stop there for a moment. There's some places where they tell you not to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, because they're gone. They passed away with the apostles and so forth and so on. But Paul is saying, pursue love. Make that your pursuit. Okay? We're not pursuing gifts. We're not pursuing manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We're pursuing love. You know why we're pursuing love? Because God is love. We're pursuing after Him. Amen? So pursue love, but desire spiritual gifts. Or probably in the Greek, it doesn't say spiritual gifts. It says desire spirituals. But the implication is that it's the spiritual gifts that he's been talking about in the previous chapters. So that's why we add the word gifts there in this place. And then he says, especially that you may prophesy. And so sometimes people just stop there and they say, see, you know, you guys, you're speaking in tongues in the church, you know, you're just off. Because Paul says that you should desire spiritual gifts, especially that you should prophesy. So forget about the other stuff, just prophesy. And then they define prophecy as being anointed preaching, which, of course, anointed preaching could have an element of prophecy in it. But that's not what Paul was talking about, because if you read the other chapters around this, you figure out that he's not talking about anointed preaching. He's talking about a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit, the gift of prophecy, which he defines as something, an utterance that brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's how Paul defines the gift of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy. Praise the Lord. So verse 2 says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but the other, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So there in verse 2, he starts out, he's talking about prayer. You could rightly say, for one who prays in a tongue speaks not to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Now, let me explain that in this letter to the Corinthians, Paul's writing to people who understood exactly what he was talking about. Because in his letter to the Corinthians, he was bringing correction and direction to the church because they were misusing some of the gifts of the Spirit. Some of the manifestations of the Spirit that God had given them, they were misusing. So because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they understood exactly what he was talking about when he talked about praying in the Spirit and when he talked about giving a message in tongues that needed interpretation. They didn't have any questions about it. So he could bounce back and forth between the two subjects and not be misunderstood. But now when we read it, you know, a couple of thousand years later, sometimes we could get confused because he's going back and forth one time talking about prayer, and another time talking about speaking in tongues that needs interpretation. And we have to decide which is he's talking about now. So here in verse 2, he's talking about prayer. The person who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to people. He's speaking to God. And he utters mysteries in the Spirit. In other words, when you're speaking to God and you're praying in tongues, you don't have to understand what you're saying because you're praying heart to heart with God. You're communicating heart to heart with God. You're speaking heart to heart with God, and you don't need an interpretation. Wouldn't be wrong to get one, though, right? Correct? It would be okay for you to get an interpretation of your prayer and begin to understand it. In fact, that might be a blessing. But it's not necessary because God knows what you're saying.
Amen.
So he can interpret his own language that he's given you very well. He doesn't need your help. And therefore, you can communicate to him on a heart-to-heart level by praying in tongues, praying in your prayer language, and be totally understood by him and totally built up yourself because you know that he understands. And furthermore, just let me add this. There might be some times when you don't know exactly what to pray. You know, the Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, that Paul talks about. And sometimes we don't know what to pray for as they ought. But when that time comes, the Holy Spirit begins to pray through us with utterances that can't be expressed in articulate speech or can't be given in a known language. And that's exactly what we're talking about when we're speaking about praying in tongues. We're talking about speaking in an unknown language, a language that we didn't learn from our parents or from our teachers or from our educational background, but speaking in a language that God imparted into us through the baptism in the Holy Spirit, a language that we don't understand with our mind, but that we can comprehend in our spirit because we have a connection with God. We have a covenant relationship with God. So that's why I'm saying that prayer, our prayer language, our prayer in the Holy Spirit is our covenant connection with God. Our covenant, it seals our covenant relationship with God because relationships always require communication. You have no communication, you have no relationship. Or at least not much of a relationship. Amen. Some of us quiet people, we have a little trouble with that, you know. We need a little help, you know, a little boost in our communication so that we can have better relationships. Well, it's the same with God. We sometimes need a little bit of a boost. And he understood that. And one of the ways he gives us that boost is he gives us a special language that we can communicate with him, even when we don't know what to say. I mean, have you ever been in this kind of awkward relationship with you just didn't know what to say? You met somebody and you wanted to be friends and you wanted to talk and you wanted to say something, but you didn't know where to start. Or is that just a guy thing? Is that not just a guy thing? It's a relationship thing because there are times when, you know, you just don't know where to start, but somehow you get started and then, you know, you break the ice and somewhere you get along in that conversation. Well, it's the same way with God. Sometimes people don't know where to start. And it's really great to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be able to communicate heart to heart with God and not have to worry about what do I say? What do I say to a God who created me? What do I say to a God who says the hairs on my head are numbered? What do I say to a God who made heaven and earth, who created all the animals and all the beauty that's around us? How can I express myself to someone so magnificent and someone who knows everything about everything? Where do I start? Well, to have a heart-to-heart connection with a God like that by speaking the language that he gave you is a wonderful start. Because that will lead you not only into expressing yourself in the Spirit with your prayer language, but it will lead you to a place of expressing yourself to him in your known language. Because oftentimes when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in our prayer language, we lapse into our known language, English, Spanish, Chinese, whatever it is, and we begin to express ourselves in to ways we hadn't really thought of. And that too is, in a sense, praying in the Spirit. Because we're not praying from our mind, we're praying from inspiration, from the inside. So sometimes, you know, we make rules and we say things, you know, about praying in tongues and about praying to God and so forth and so on. But we've only tapped into just really, really a small portion of where we could be with God if we would just relax and just allow Him through the Holy Spirit to do what He would like to do in our relationship when we're talking to Him and communicating with Him. But like everything else, if you make no time for this and you make no place for this, it's not going to happen, because you're the one who's holding back. It's not God. Amen? So let's go on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 3 says, on the other hand. Everybody say, on the other hand.
On the other hand.
So can you feel a shift coming here? It's pretty clear about that. On the other hand, one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and for their encouragement and consolation. So can you see here, just from these first few verses, that he's talking about two different things? One thing he's talking about is praying and communicating with God in your prayer language, praying in the Spirit. One who's speaking mysteries to God that don't need an interpretation or need to be understood by the person who's speaking them. And the second, on the other hand, one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Or some translations say edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we're talking about that subject called prophecy, where we're speaking something still from God. It's a gift of the Spirit, right? We're speaking something from God, but we're speaking it so that someone can understand, some person around us can understand, or some body of people around us can understand that God is saying something that's important, and He's saying it through a person, inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak specific words that will build you up, or that will exhort you, encourage you, or that will bring consolation to you and comfort to you. Amen? Does that make sense? This week, a friend of ours lost his mother. So, you know, when somebody loses a loved one, you know, what we want to do is we want to bring some comfort to that person. But oftentimes, funerals are the most awkward things, as people say the stupidest stuff to the person who's just lost somebody. I mean, and what's the reason for it? The reason is because you don't know what to say, right? And you feel awkward, and you feel, you know, you feel you want to be truthful, but you can't feel what that person is feeling because you're not that person. It's not your mother. So how in the world are you going to comfort that person? Well, thankfully, the Bible gives us some guidance about that, right? It says that we should comfort each other with the words, knowing that we're going to see them again if they're a saved person and so forth and so on. So there is some guidance about it, but it sets up a really, really awkward situation of how do you bring comfort. Well, if you use that kind of sense of direction here, you can see that prophecy, something spoken from the heart of God, can not only bring correction or exhortation or encouragement, but it can bring comfort to some person, right? Because God knows how to comfort you. Amen. He knows how to bring comfort to you. So this could be a really important thing in the life of a believer. Something that brings edification, exhortation, and comfort would be really, really important. So here he's saying, on the other hand. So one time he's talking about prayer. On the other hand, he's talking about prophecy, or speaking something that edifies. On the one sense, he's talking about, here's communication with God. He can understand. And the second is, here's communication with people. They need to understand. In order to be built up, in order to be encouraged, in order to be comforted, they need to understand. Praise the Lord. Okay, so verse 4 then says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. So look, he shifted back now to another subject. If you're building up yourself, you don't have to worry about the other person, right? Does it make sense to you? You're building up yourself. You can speak or pray in a tongue in an unknown language. And you don't have to be concerned about, is this other person or are these other people sitting around me? Are they understanding this? Because they don't have to understand it. They don't need to understand that the person who's speaking is building himself up. Amen? Now, we could build ourselves up individually in our closet somewhere, right? Because the Bible does say sometimes, you know, you should go pray in your closet. Not to be seen of men, not to be seen of people, not to be heard by people. Just go in your closet and your Father who is in heaven, who sees you in secret, will answer you openly. Amen? So sometimes people say, you know what? You shouldn't be doing that in church. You shouldn't be doing that with other people because you should be in your closet doing that. However, there's a little problem with that. Because in the book of Acts, when people got filled with the Holy Spirit, they got filled with the Holy Spirit in public places. The first time was a public place. There were 120 of them in that upper room. And the Bible says they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That must have been pretty chaotic. Amen? Especially if it was the first time. Nobody had ever heard this before. So, in spite of all the chaos, some order came. Amen. And pretty soon Peter stood up and began to preach so people could be edified. Amen? He began to speak from the heart of God, and he even became prophetic and drew on prophecy of the old prophets when he says, this is that which Joel spoke of. And he began to edify the people and teach them and minister to them in a way that they could understand. So, another example, in the house of Cornelius, the Bible says Peter was preaching the gospel to them. He was preaching the cross to them. He was preaching about the blood of Jesus to them. He was preaching about the death and resurrection of Jesus to them. And in the middle of his sermon, they all got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and magnify God. That must have been chaotic too. Because it was the first time that anybody saw Gentiles, non-Jewish people, have this experience. But they determined one thing about it. They said, you know, how could we not baptize these people in water? They've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues just like we did when we got it. Was anybody interpreting? It doesn't say that they were. And if they were just praising and magnifying God, it didn't need interpretation. He understood perfectly well what he was doing. In fact, he was the one who was doing it through them. He was bringing forth this magnificent worship and praise in a language that those people didn't understand and had never learned. And it was all happening in the church service. And nobody was correcting him and saying, you sit down, you haven't interpreted that. You shouldn't be doing that in public, folks. They were all praising and worshiping God and glorifying God in a beautiful way. Praise the Lord. So he says here in verse 4, one who speaks in tongues builds up himself. And then he says, but. Can you see that there possibly would be a shift coming here? But one who prophesies. So now he's talking about a different subject. One who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. Everybody get that? I want you all to speak in tongues. Not just half of you, not just a few of you, one or two of you. I want you all. Maybe he was from Texas. I don't know. I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. So what he's saying here is I want all of you to have a prayer language, right? But even more than that, I want you to come to a place of prophesying. In other words, speaking something from the heart of God that brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. He's not excluding one by the other, because he's saying, I want you all to do this. But I want you especially to be able to edify people, to build them up, to bring them something they can understand. Because he says the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless, everybody say unless. Unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. In other words, prophecy and tongues with interpretation is preferred in a group so that there can be understanding. Where understanding is needed, prophecy and tongues with interpretation is the preferred method of speaking to people. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God wants to talk to you. Because God wants you encouraged. Because God wants you built up. Because God wants you comforted. He cares about you so much, he wants you to have a special word. Now, have you ever been in a service where someone said, you know what that pastor said? That was just for me. He was just talking to me. I know I wasn't talking to anybody else. He was talking to me. Do you know what that was? It wasn't the pastor talking to you. It was God talking to you through that pastor, through that minister, through that evangelist. He was talking to you. And you had the good sense to show up in church that day. You weren't like the rest of the people who stayed at home and missed it. You came and God spoke to you in spite of all the stuff that happened to you on the way to church before you got up and all the stuff that was going on at the house that said, don't go to church today. You showed up and God spoke to you because you broke through all of that mess that the devil tried to do to keep you from hearing the voice of God. And you got a word. Now Paul says, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy, because the one who prophesies is greater. It's greater only in the sense that when you have an understanding, you could have something to act upon. Amen? Does that make sense? So instead of just building yourself up, you should seek to build somebody else up so that they can prosper in their life, so that they can be strengthened, comforted, and encouraged, so that they can go on with their walk with God and live a life of victory. Amen? Life in the Spirit, a life of victory. Verse 6. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will you benefit unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? So now he's talking again about, this is not praying. He's talking about speaking in tongues in a way that it could be interpreted and edify somebody. So he says, even lifeless instruments, such as the flute or the harp, do not give distinct tones. How can anyone know what is played? And nobody could mistake those drums that were going on just a little bit ago. It was awesome. But if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So, with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that's not intelligible, how will anybody know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of that language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So, if Sarah were to get up and preach to us this morning in Spanish, you know, most of us probably wouldn't understand. Ellie could understand, and Edith could understand, but the rest of us would be left out, for the most part. Or maybe you could, you know enough Spanish that you could just kind of get the drift of things. Because many times, when someone is preaching, even in a foreign language, if you kind of know what their scripture is, you can feel in the spirit, and you can sense in the spirit where that's going, even if you don't totally understand the language. It's an amazing thing. And you can be edified and you can be lifted up. But it's not as good as if you could understand the language. Or Mew could get up and preach to us in Chinese, in Mandarin, or Cantonese. And, it would be pretty much unintelligible to most of us. Because we just don't know what that means. And the sounds are so different from anything in English, and nothing resembles anything like we would speak. So we'd just be guessing. I think she's talking about this, and we could be 1,000 miles off. Amen? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anybody know what was said? Is this rocket science, or is this just common sense? In other words, Paul's saying to these people, you should have figured this out. You're not here just for yourself, you're here for other people. And when you're here for other people, you should say things that make sense to people and that help them and that bless them. Amen? Praise the Lord. So then he says, but about being a foreigner or the speaker being a foreigner to me. All right, verse 12. Now there's a shift again. So with yourselves, you are eager for manifestation of the Spirit. Strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. In other words, if you're getting a language from God and you're in a public meeting, where you want people to be taught and edified, you should have interpretation for the language that you're speaking. If you're not speaking in English or Spanish or addressing the crowd in their known language, you should pray that you could interpret. So what does that mean? That means if you get the language, you have also the potential to interpret it. Now, I know many times when someone gives a language, we allow someone else to interpret because there are gifts in the body. Some can speak in tongues and some can interpret. But what this says is that if you get a message in tongues, you could pray that you could get the interpretation. So if this is a message that's meant to be building up the body and not just building up yourself, you should pray that you can interpret it so that they can understand it. Does that make sense? Okay, so he's talking about that subject. But then in verse 14, he shifts again and he's shifting back to prayer. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, everybody say pray.
Pray.
My spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Now he's not talking about edifying the people around you, right? He's talking about you and your relationship with God and God speaking to you and speaking through you and you getting built up. He said, my spirit prays, but my mind's unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit. He didn't say, oh, there's other people around. I won't pray with my spirit. Did he? He didn't qualify this by saying you can only do this in your prayer closet. But of course you can do it in your prayer closet, in your car, in your home, in your workplace. Presumably under your breath. Unless you want to cause a stir in your workplace. I guess you can pray in tongues and somebody will say, what was that? And you can say, this is that which Joel talked about, and then use it as a prompt to preach the gospel to them. Amen? That'll work. It'll get attention, I can guarantee you that. Praise the Lord. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my mind also. In other words, I will pray the spirit, but I will not exclude praying with my understanding. So there's a place for both. Amen? They're not mutually exclusive. I mean, it's just don't just do one and don't do the other. I will pray with my spirit. I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit. So this brings another avenue of connection with God, of relationship with God, to be able to sing in a language that you don't understand, that builds you up and that glorifies Him. What a wonderful thing. That's what it meant when they got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and magnify God, make God big. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will sing with my spirit. I will sing with my mind also. So I can sing in my known language or I can sing in my prayer language. Amen. What a wonderful way to praise God. And you can shift back and forth between the two. God won't mind. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in a position on the outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? So can you see that now he's shifting again not to the language of, not to the thing of prayer, but to the thing of saying something that can build up people around. So he's going back and forth throughout this whole chapter. And he says, but the other person will not be built up. But verse 18, he says, I thank my God I speak more in tongues than you all. So if he's saying don't do this in public, don't do this ever, don't just stop, why would he say that? Because he would be the worst offender of his instruction to the people if he meant not to do it. He says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Still speaking in prayer. How do we know he's speaking in prayer? Because I read the next verse. Nevertheless, in the church, I would, in other words, amongst the people, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he doesn't say, don't do it. He just said, look, when I'm together with people, I want my primary objective to be to lift them up, to build them up, to instruct them so that they understand. He didn't say, don't pray in tongues. Don't pray in tongues together. He just said, look, make this your priority, building people up. Why? Because it's not all about you. You get that? It's not about all just I can build myself up. Hallelujah. Amen. You should build yourself up. There's a place for that. But your thought and your life should be for others. You're reaching out for others. You're reaching out to help others, to bless others. So it shouldn't be all about yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I'm helping you or confusing you. Verse 20. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. So he's saying about when it comes to prayer, you should have some mature thinking. Mature thinking is, it's not all about me. You get this, you know, one of the issues with kids, with little kids that become maturing kids is for the little kid that it's all about himself. If he lives the rest of his life like that, he's in trouble. Amen? Nothing's worse than a selfish brat. Amen? That's impudent. And that nobody can stand to be around because they're just consumed with themselves. Amen? So as believers, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we shouldn't be like that. We should be more mature than that. And make it about others instead of making it about ourselves. Praise the Lord. Then he says, in the law, it is written, in other words, in the Old Covenant, it is written, by people of strange tongues and by lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. It's kind of a funny thing to throw in there, a little bit. But what Paul is saying to people is, to these Corinthian churches, people are people. And sometimes people don't do the right thing. And sometimes people are selfish and self-consumed. And it doesn't matter what I'm teaching, they're not going to listen anyway. I'm wasting my breath. But he's saying, God's given you some gifts that will be a blessing to you and will be a blessing to others if you just put others first. And at the same time, have enough sense to build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, as it says in Jude, verse 20. All right. So let's wrap up this kind of portion here by taking a look at a couple of things. Let's just kind of get practical for a couple of minutes here. What do we need to do to develop our talking to God? What do we need to do to develop our relationship, our communication, our covenant relationship with God? First of all, recognize that prayer is just talking to Him. It's communication with Him. It includes petitions, in other words, asking for something. But certainly just asking for something from him shouldn't dominate our whole prayer life, right? So have you ever noticed that a lot of times when we pray, we're just asking God for stuff, for things? One of the ways that we can break that is to pray in the Spirit. To communicate with him in the language that he's given us, because then it's no longer about us, because the Holy Spirit begins to pray through you. And then many times your English, your prayer in English or Spanish or your known language that begins to come up takes a richness and takes a different direction than just me. Amen? Because when you're praying in the Spirit, oftentimes God will then lead you to begin to pray for people. You'll think about, oh, that person was sick this week, I need to pray for them. Or that person lost a loved one, I need to pray for them. Or that person, I know they need some things, you know, God to provide them some things, I need to pray for them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is prompting you on the inside through your prayer language to be not about yourself, about somebody else. Amen? He's using you to bring answers to other people. Really important. But if we just pray in our own language, we're just asking God for stuff. We're just like that spoiled kid that's asking for candy. Because it's all about me. But now when we pray in the Spirit, we break that thing. Because the Holy Spirit isn't selfish. He's all about everybody, not just you. He loves you. He cares about you. He'll help you. He'll bless you. But he'll use you then to be a blessing to other people. Amen? Praise the Lord. So prayer is communication with God. You have to recognize it. That's number one. Secondly, your prayer language, which comes from baptism in the Holy Spirit, doesn't replace your native language in praying to God. Excuse me. Your prayer language doesn't replace that, but it does augment that. And there's a place for both. Pray in your known language, pray in your unknown language. There's a place for both of those things. And then thirdly, sometimes communication is a struggle because relationship is complex. If you haven't figured out your total relationship with God, you're not in alone. Because we're all growing in our relationship with God. Or should be growing anyway. We shouldn't be stagnant in our relationship with God. We should be growing in it. And with that comes the challenge to communicate. How are we going to communicate with that God in a better way, a stronger way, a way that brings blessing to others and to my own life? How can I do that in a really more profound way? I want to have that kind of relationship with God that's growing and growing and growing and never stops. Amen? How can I do that? Well, praying in tongues, the language that God gives you, is one of the ways you do that, because the Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up. You build yourself up not to make yourself big and important. You build yourself up so that your relationship with God is strong. Amen. It's like working out in the spirit realm. You work out in the physical realm so that your body stays healthy, stays toned, stays fit, throws off sickness and disease, weakness and things. And you work out in the spirit realm so that you stay strong and fit and have the armor on and are able to defeat the evil one and all of his schemes and wicked things. You pray in the spirit, it builds you up. It builds up your most holy faith, the Bible says. So it does something in the faith realm to strengthen you so that you can accomplish what God has called you to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so prayer is communication with God. Secondly, your prayer language doesn't replace praying in your known language. And praying in tongues helps you break the communication struggle in a complex relationship, because God understands every time what you're saying and what you're doing. Praise the Lord. So, 1 Corinthians, just going back to 1 Corinthians 14:4, one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. So we're going to take a break right here. for a few minutes and let you talk about what I just spoke about amongst yourself. God's a wonderful, awesome God. Amen. So if you need a boost in the spirit this morning, and who doesn't, let's just receive right now. And let's just lift our hands. Mew, you can put that song back up there again, just quietly, a little quieter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to needs in this place right now. Thank you for ministering the power, the presence of the living God into our lives in a special way. Thank you for precious anointing that's destroying yokes and lifting burdens right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you've solved all the problems that we've had. You solved them when you went to the cross of Calvary and poured out your lifeblood for us. Your precious anointing, Holy Spirit, is healing wounds right now. Thank you, Lord, for healing bodies, restoring us, Lord, restoring strength and life and life flow inside of us through the power and the presence of your Spirit. Thank you for precious anointing, Lord, that's bringing the wellness on the inside, Lord, where there have been hurts and wounds from other people, Lord, where there have been tragedies and other things, Lord, that trauma that's been in our lives, Father. Thank you, Lord, for pouring in the oil and the wine. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you and worship you for your presence, Lord. We praise and worship you and thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your greatness, Lord. You're an awesome God, a wonderful Savior. Lord, fill us again and again and again to overflowing, Lord. Let it overflow in our hearts. Let it overflow in our minds. Let it overflow in our lives, in our families, in our homes, Lord. Lord, let that oil of the Holy Spirit be a life changer for us, Lord. Let it bring provision and prosperity and blessing, Lord, everywhere that we go. Let that precious anointing of your Spirit, Lord, bring healing everywhere that we go. Lord, let it bring your presence into lives, into other lives, Lord, as we go here and abroad, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that here in our Jerusalem, in our surrounding area, our Judea, in our Samarias, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, Lord, we can carry out your great commission of reaching the lost with the gospel, reaching them with the good news that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is the life, Father. That it's not all about us, but it's about you and about what you did for mankind to redeem them from the curse of the law. Thank you that every curse is broken. Thank you that the curse of poverty is broken. The curse of sickness is broken. The curse of sin is broken, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for redeeming us from the curse and giving us a covenant relationship with you through the power of your Holy Spirit. And through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for precious anointing, Lord. We praise you, Lord, and glorify you. Thank you for anointing to minister, Lord. Because we're all called to be ministers of reconciliation, Lord. Because you reconciled us to the Father. And you put us in that place of being ministers of reconciliation, Lord. So bless those labors of our hands, Lord. As we're reaching out to others, Lord. In the outreach coming up, Lord. In the outreach to Cuba, an outreach in March, Lord. Father, that we'll just bring the life of God to those that we're speaking to. We praise you for it and we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation coming inside of us. Thank you, Lord, for the eyes of our understanding opening, that we can know the hope of our calling, that we can know the richness of the glory of our inheritance in the saints. So that we can know the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. So that we can know the working of your mighty power, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in a new and a fresh way. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, finally fill us with the knowledge of your will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, Lord. Help us to walk worthy of you and fully please you. Increase in our knowledge of you, our relationship with you. In Jesus' name. And for it we thank you and we give you praise in his precious name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So just to wrap up our faith life, it's connected to our prayer life. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him, because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So part of our diligently seeking him has to do with our relationship with him through the Spirit of God, who's imparted into us a prayer life that comes from him, praying through his perfect will. Romans 8 says that when the Holy Spirit is praying with those words that are not, we're not able to utter in articulate speech, that he's praying into existence the perfect will of God. So as we pray in the Spirit, we're bringing the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, because it's from the heart of God. And so when we're praying in the Spirit, we're not just edifying ourselves, but we're bringing blessing to everybody around us, because that precious anointing of God is flowing through us to touch lives and to touch homes. So the inner leading of the Holy Spirit comes through that relationship that we develop with God. So I want to encourage you just to use this gift in a special way. I mean, begin to increase in it. Begin to increase in your time with God in terms of praying in the Spirit. Allow that to have a big place in your life and not just a kind of a sideline. Well, sometimes I pray in the Spirit, but use it effectively as one of the tools, one of the weapons of your warfare that God has given you. I mean, we're surrounded by stuff that's designed to take us down. But he's given us weapons, mighty weapons, and prayer is one of the mightiest, and prayer in the Spirit is the mightiest of the mightiest, so that we can take down the enemy and keep our armor intact. The primary way that he speaks to us is by what the Bible calls the inner witness. And when we're praying in the Spirit, our spirit is open to him speaking back to us. And the inner witness of the Spirit of God is what directs our lives and what can change everything for us, because many things around us we can't understand or don't have a full knowledge of, but he knows everything. And so through his Spirit, while you're praying in the Spirit, he can direct, he can change, he can channel things so that your whole life can change. So we have to listen. We have to open our hearts and we have to open our ears to him, our ears to hear his voice. He says, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. So when we're communicating with him in the Spirit, we've opened that channel, and that channel becomes a two-way place of communication to us. And then we can begin to walk by faith and not by sight. We can begin to walk in love and not in strife. We can begin to be followers of Jesus, not just in words, but in deeds. And we can accomplish all that he's called us to do. Praise the Lord. So, we're just going to leave it there, because there's lots more we could say or talk, but it's not about talk. It's about stepping into what he has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can be seated, and we're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings this morning.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.